All right, welcome to the Allegiance Team Academy regular meeting of the Board of Directors. It's March 25th, 2018. Meeting location 13050 2nd Street, Chino, California, 91710. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 7:05 p.m. Instructions for presentations to the board by parents and citizens. Allegiance Team Academy Thrive Charter School. Allegiance Team Academy, also known as ASA Thrive, is a direct-funded, independent public charter school operated by the Allegiance STEAM Academy, nonprofit public benefit corporation, and governed by Allegiance STEAM Academy, Incorporated, Corporate Board of Directors. The purpose of a public meeting of the board is to conduct the affairs of Allegiance STEAM Academy in public. We are pleased that you are in attendance and hope you will visit these meetings often. Your participation assures us of continuing community interest in our school. Agendas are available to all audience members at the meeting. Note that the order of business on this agenda may be changed without prior notice. For more information on this agenda, please contact Allegiance at info@asathrive.org. Requests to speak forms are available to all audience members who wish to speak on any agenda item or under the general category of public comments. Public comments are set aside for members of the audience to comment. However, due to public meeting laws, the board can only listen to your issue, not take any action. The public is invited to address the board regarding items listed on the agenda. Comments on an agenda item will be accepted during consideration of that item or prior to consideration of the item in the case of a closed session item. Please turn in your comment cards up front here to the item you wish to speak on. These presentations are limited to 3 minutes. In compliance with Americans with Disabilities Act, and upon request, Allegiance STEAM Academy may furnish reasonable auxiliary aids and services to qualified individuals with disabilities. Individuals who require appropriate alternative modification of the agenda in order to participate in board meetings are invited to contact Allegiance STEAM Academy. Roll call. Samantha Odo.
Present.
Raquel Rawl.
Here.
Melanie Choi.
Here.
And Vanessa Okamoto is absent. And Andrew Vesti here. Public comments, items on the agenda, not on the agenda. No individual presentation shall be for more than 3 minutes. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentations and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a presentation. Approval of agenda for board meeting. For March 25th, 2018, it is recommended the Board of Directors approve the agenda for the regular board meeting for March 25th, 2018. Do I have a motion?
I move that we approve the regular board meeting agenda for March 25th, 2018.
Motion, Raquel. A second?
I second it.
Second, Melanie. roll call vote. Samantha Odo?
Aye.
Raquel Rawl?
Aye.
Melanie Choi?
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Motion passes 4-0. Communications, comments from the board. Samantha Odo?
I would like to thank the volunteers again for yesterday coming out and walking the neighborhoods to get more interest in the enrollment. We really appreciate that. I know it was cold and then hot and cold and hot, but really appreciate you guys coming out and doing that for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Melanie Choi?
None.
Nothing. Raquel Rawl?
None.
And Andrew Vesti, I have nothing. CEO's report.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Let's do that again. We'll both share a little bit in this CEO's report. I'll start off with just an update on the lottery applications. So as of yesterday, we were over 750 applications. Each grade level is also now will require a lottery for this first year's projected enrollment. Each of the grade levels has applicants has already met or exceeded the enrollment that we have for year one in our charter. Just a little bit about what that means to me personally, right? I think there's two sides to that coin. It's a very healthy place for a new school to be in. I also want to recognize, you know, the tough side of that, right? This is, in my decade or so with charters, my least favorite day of the year has always been the lottery day, because we know, you know, there's a demand for a school like ours And we also recognize, based on the numbers I just shared, that this school will not be available to all who want it at this point. So it's a tough side of how charter schools work, but it is a necessary part of the process to ensure that it's a school that's available to a variety of kids. So it comes with that in its territory. But on the positive, it's a very healthy place for Allegiance to be at, a demand that far exceeds the enrollment. I'm going to let Callie speak a little bit about curriculum and instruction, and then I'll take it back.
So our growing team of teachers and staff are all very loyal and committed, and we have been meeting about once a month, and it seems like each time it's a little bit bigger, which is great. And this week we started working on our educational plan, which is, will kind of detail the grade level outcomes for all of the content areas, and we're going to continue that work virtually and collaborate in between our meetings as well.
Great. That's a good segue to staffing. We did hold a job fair for teaching positions yesterday. Left that very encouraged about certain candidates, which brings us to approximately 14 of the 16 classroom positions. We have, at the very least at this point, a verbal commitment from individuals, interest, you know, from some. So the staff is coming together, and one that we're really, really excited about. So now we can start to also concentrate on the out of the classroom positions, special education, and other positions that we need to fill to open the school. So very healthy place as well, but now, you know, focusing outside of the classroom as well. On the agenda, you're going to see a request for, or one of the items to look at is a proposal for a grant writer. We are looking at approximately $500,000 startup grant. It's a federal competitive grant. We'll be writing to that in the next few days, which will do a lot if we're able to get that grant towards our STEAM efforts in the lab and in every classroom. So that's ongoing right now as well. Important dates, I'm going to circle back. I failed to talk about April 6th, we will receive Desert Mountain SELPA's decision on whether they'll accept us as a member or if we need to look for a different SELPA. Again, for all those who are not aware, SELPA is an entity that supports special education implementation at your school site. We're required to be a part of a SELPA. Desert Mountain was our first choice. They're who we applied to, and now we're awaiting, you know, we're just kind of days away from hearing their decision. April 8th is our lottery. It's a public lottery, and you do not have to attend, but you're welcome to attend. We'll go over how the lottery works. We will run the lottery in real time and display it for all to see. Again, you don't have to be present for the lottery. You're welcome to attend. Shortly after, you'll receive notification of the lottery results if you do not attend. And lastly, I just want to speak to the time of, in the different ways I've been kind of learning a lot about this community. You know, coming in, I'm new to the community, so it's important at this stage and really in our first year or so to take the opportunity to listen and learn from the community and what this community wants us to realize in Allegiance. That's been informing a lot of how we're looking at potential staff members, how we're interacting with one another, and the decisions we're making for your kids. And most recently, in being part of the of the process to help confirm the founding members, the status of that, what resonated with me in that process was the realization that, you know, how unique this has really been. You know, it just does not happen as often as it should, where a group of parents come together and open a school. The process leading up until tonight, until this meeting, that strongly just kind of impacted me was realizing the number of people who have contributed, whether it's in a small part or in a substantial part and everything in between, to get to this point. It's unique, it's rare, and it's a story that, you know, people need to know. So it really did impact us, those of us who were part of the ad hoc committee to talk to candidates for member status, for founding member status. That for each of them, I can say it was refreshing to hear how important it was to be a part of school choice, bringing school choice to this community. And however they could, you know, could contribute to that, that resonated across the folks we were able to talk to. So I just want to, as your founding CEO, it's important to me to express my gratitude to everybody in the room, those who will have that status and who have not. we're here today, right? I think we're at this point because of the contributions of so many. So we, in advance, you know, thank you for your grace and understanding and our attempt to be very objective and transparent in how the founding member status was derived. That was our intent from the beginning. We echoed that throughout the conversations with folk. I want to echo it now. And we want to honor, you know, the work that has been done to get to this point. You don't build a school with a few people. You really do need a large community to come together. And that's what's happening here. And I'm excited about what that means moving forward. So thank you to everybody. Your contributions, how, to the extent that they were realized, they mean a lot. They stood out, you know, as we kind of went through this process and as I'm getting to know each of you. So for me personally, I want to thank everyone who's in the room and who's not, regardless of what their status is. You helped us get to this point. So thank you.
Thank you. Items scheduled for consent, the minutes for February 18, 2018, February 25th, 2018, and March 11th, 2018. Do I have a motion to approve the items for consent?
I'll make a motion.
Motion Sam, a second?
A second.
Second by Raquel. Roll call vote. Samantha Odo?
Aye.
Raquel Rawl?
Aye.
Melanie Choi?
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Item scheduled for discussion action. Report from the ad hoc committee founding member interviews. Pursuant to the Allegiance Theme Academy Thrive Charter petition, founding members will be confirmed prior to the school's initial enrollment lottery. As set forth in the approved charter, the founding members group is comprised of the parents and community members that provided significant assistance initially in the development of the school. Designation as a founding member is not based upon financial donations to the school. The ad hoc committee will confirm the founding member group through interviews with the CEO as set forth in the charter. And the confirmation of the founding members will be completed at a meeting of the board of directors. Is there any discussion prior to?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead. Well, no, we'll get the report after the discussion. I just have one thing. As Dr. Cognetta said, his worst day is the lottery, but quite frankly, for me, today is the worst day because everybody's been here from day one helping us out. We wish we could choose everybody. It was not an easy task for Raquel and Melanie. You know, just thank you, no matter what happens, like he said, because everybody that applied to be a founding member put forth effort to try, you know, because we all care about our kids. You know, no matter what happens, don't give up hope. There's still a lottery. But thank you to everybody that put forth effort to try to help us out and volunteer time. And thank you, too, for sitting on this committee. That's all I have. And we're ready when you are.
Good evening. So this is the report of the ad hoc committee on founding member interviews. Committee members include Melanie Choi and Dr. Raquel Rawl, and Dr. Sebastian Cognetta was there as well to oversee as pursuant to our charter. So charter schools with the approval of the chartering authority may establish an admission preference for the children of charter school founders, including parents, guardians, caregivers, teachers, and staff. Allegiance Theme Academy Thrive shall designate, pursuant to the process delineated by the board, founders of the charter school who have contributed substantial personal time, effort, and resources to develop the charter school petition, establish a charter school facility, recruit students, or develop and implement the charter school educational program or operations. Designation as a charter school founding member shall not be conferred upon any parent, guardian, caregiver, teacher, or staff after the first day of operation. Designation as a charter school founder will not be conferred upon any individual due solely to a significant financial donation to the school. The responsibilities of founding members can be found in the founding member agreement. Founding members can be removed from the founding member group upon failure to fulfill the responsibilities of the founding member agreement. The Ad Hoc Committee on Founding Member Interviews would like to say thank you to all the applicants who expressed interest in supporting Allegiance Theme Academy in this capacity. We would also like to thank Laura Vesti
who has been integral in the communication with applicants and offering reports of volunteerism. On March 25th, 2018, the Ad Hoc Committee and Dr. Cognetta completed interviews of founding family applicants. After the close of interview, we recommend confirmation of the following individuals as founding members. Anne Burkesell, and if I butcher your name, I apologize in advance. Okay. Margarita Cosio, Dara Diamond, Raquel Diaz, Rebecca Garcia, Eric and Maria Hassanoff, Ross Higgins, Karen Cabanaba, Mindy Moon, Melissa Solomon, Bernadette Stroud, Adriana Tabanero, Diana Urbina, Anthony and Jeanette Valenzuela, and Jason and Bridget Watts. So notification of members was done via phone as well as email, and we also emailed those individuals who applied but were not selected. And again, because we had an abundance of applications, we couldn't take everyone, so I apologize, we all apologize, but we did the best that we could, and so we hope that everyone's still on board to help and support the school, and we thank you guys immensely for your support. So, thank you.
Thank you, Raquel. So to have a motion to approve the confirmed founding members group, which were interviewed by the ad hoc committee and CEO. Well, I'll make a motion to approve the confirmed founding members group. Do I have a second? Roll call vote. Samantha Odo.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti. Aye. Number two, contract for services with Rager. Is that how you say that?
Rager.
Development Group Incorporated to serve as grant writer for the Public Charter School Grant Program application. The PCSGP 2016 to 2019 funds planning and implementation and dissemination grants. The PI grant provides grants of up to $575,000 to plan and implement new charter schools. It serves California's public charter schools by providing startup and initial operating capital to assist schools in establishing high quality, high performing charter school operations for California students and their families. The dissemination grant provides grants to charter schools to disseminate best practices likely to significantly improve academic achievement in California's K through 12 public education system, which you guys all had a chance to review the proposal. Would you like to speak on it?
Yeah, so we were able to look at a couple other quotes for the proposals, and Rieger Development Group's, familiar with Dr. Rieger's work, he's secured over $4 million in grants, and given that he actually spent his time doing other things in supporting schools, he's got a pretty strong success track record. He's helped in school startup as well, so writing the grant for in the school startup mode is right well within the wheelhouse. We did, you know, cost was a factor as well in our other quotes. Rieger Development Group's quote was considerably friendlier than some of the other quotes that we looked at. That coupled with his track record, you know, over $4 million in grants for schools, feel comfortable endorsing this proposal.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Do I have a recommendation to adopt and approve the contract for services with Rieger Development Group Incorporated?
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Samantha Odo, a second?
I'll second.
Second, Melanie Choi. Roll call vote, Samantha Odo?
Aye.
Raquel Rawl?
Aye.
Melanie Choi?
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Motion passes 4-0. Contract for services with Callie Moreno for duties related to Director of Educational Programs, which you guys had a chance to review her consulting agreement. Yep. Are there any questions?
No. I have a question.
Yes.
Just the language doesn't, when it talks about if, you know, the contract was severed, there's no communication regarding online data and online files as far as like what happens. So like any report, termination for regular documents, material, I think, I don't know if it's probably an antiquated thing, and it needs to get in the 21st century, but I think that's important that we have that in there as well, that those things would be...
Are you talking about any work she does with us?
No, like at the end, like for some reason if the contract's separate, like we're separating services, you know, that sort of thing, and that, you know, return of, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Under number 8, the surrender of documents
Correct.
And materials?
I'm guessing it covers that, but it doesn't say that explicitly, that they're online files, or what happens to those files, is what I'm just saying. I don't know.
Well,
it says
we'll surrender to school all documents and materials in her possession that relate to the contractor services, including all physical copies, drafts, digital, and computer versions.
Right, but it doesn't say, like, that can mean she can email, but it doesn't say she has to, like, give it off of her computer. Does that make sense? I'm worried about the hard drive part. Like, it doesn't say, to me, this doesn't mean that maybe the way that you're interpreting it is the way that the legality of it needs to come, but to me, that's not clear. But I don't know if that matters, but that's just something.
Well, we can approve it and ask for that language change, if you're good with that. So you can have a motion to adopt and approve the contract services with Callie Moreno for duties related to Director of Educational Programs, and we will work with the attorneys to add language to the contract regarding. How should we word that?
I have another question before you try to figure that out, just in case. So just a point of clarification. So at the point where this contract ends and there is a more secure employment, right, does this become null and void, and then there's a different scope of...
Yes, it will be her actual contract for Director of Educational Programs.
Great. So, great.
Yeah, this will just go July 1 is the intent that all the staff will have.
I just wanted to make sure because it doesn't talk about, because in her purview would also be like the evaluation of programs, and it doesn't talk about that yet, but we haven't had them yet to evaluate. So I just want to make sure that if I need to signal to be cognizant of that later, then
so, try to see. I'll make a motion to adopt and approve the contract for services with Callie Moreno for duties related to Director of Educational Programs with the language change under number 8, surrender of documents and materials, to add any... you mentioned like off the hard
work. Well, maybe it's just a point of clarification. We can ask with like, we can approve with, maybe we exclude point 8 and then we add that one later. I don't know if it's a question for Greta. And like I said, I'm not an attorney, so I don't know if this language as it's written includes that. But when I read this, I don't see that. And I see that she has to submit all these different things. And not to say that any of this bad stuff is going to happen, but I would think that also hard drives, like I know, like in my profession, when we, you know, separate services for research and things of that nature, it has to be deleted. Somebody has to take control of laptops and that sort of thing.
But she's going to be under a consultant contract, so she's sitting as kind of her own entity?
So that's what I'm saying. So I wouldn't expect the surrender of a laptop or a computer. My question just surrounds, what is to keep her, have her, you know, all these things, the files, and I don't want to say just Cal, right, anybody in this capacity, right, from keeping these virtual files or this on their hard drive, because it would seem like we're concerned about files, but we don't care if they're stuck on the thing, and maybe it's included. So I don't
know how that would work, but that's just a question I had. Well, I think there's no way we can really tell because we can't force her to give over her laptop.
Right, but I'm saying if it's in the language and something does.
Well, it's saying that it will surrender to school all documents. So. Try this again. So I'll make a motion to adopt and approve the contract for services with Cali Moreno for duties related to Director of Educational Programs, because I think it actually covers everything in there, and there's no way to really know everything that, I mean, it's going to be impossible to check if she's going to be holding everything.
Right, it would be impossible to check, but I mean, at some point, you know, the relationship goes sour or something, but there is something that comes out there. At least if we have it in writing, then we, I think, we err on the side of caution. But again, I don't. It's just something I have a question about.
Well, I've made a motion to take it as is, so do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Roll call vote. Samantha Odo?
Aye.
Raquel Wall?
Aye.
Melanie Choi?
Aye.
And Andrew Vesky? Aye. Uh, 2018-2019 school calendar for Allegiance Team Academy Thrive. The Allegiance Team Academy team has created two proposed school calendars for the 2018-2019 academic year. Both proposals will be reviewed and discussed by the Board of Directors. And we actually have our first speaker, Rebecca Garcia.
Thank you, Mr. President, and board members, Dr. Rall, Mrs. Chadwell, Mrs. Odo. I'm a potential parent. I have a child that is in the lottery, and I would just like to, as a parent, would like to recommend that you consider draft number 2 for the calendar, where it identifies Fridays as a minimum day for many reasons, but mainly for selfish reasons, so that we can start our weekends early and go off to get our laundry done early so we can have a full Saturday and Sunday off. But no, really it's very, very convenient to have Fridays. I have a football player, and getting off on Fridays for Friday Night Lights would be very nice, and we can just head over to the parking lot for the pregame festivities. And so it's just convenient, more for convenience. So I noticed there were 2 drafts, and that would be my hope that we go with draft number 2. That is it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you're officially the very first speaker.
Yay!
So.
That's Rebecca with 1 C.
Do you have anything on your...
Yeah, a lot of thought went into this, right? Yes. A lot of input, and I appreciate you even hearing more, you know, right now. This is a good example of what we're trying to do, though, with just a lot of stakeholder input in creating the school, right? And, you know, speaking on behalf of staff, we're coming from the frame of what's supported by evidence that's going to support learning, you know, optimize learning, right? Additionally, you know, what does the staff need to do to be at their best, right? When we look at the community, we do support this idea of school or work-life balance. So what you have to contribute is substantial. You know, we're also taking into context year one. Year one is not like any other year, right? Those are pretty interesting times, right? And they're taxing on a lot of us. So all of that, you know, is factoring in. So while it sounds like, and there are many times when convenience cannot be a factor in what we decide or a priority, the truth is we've thought about the impact on kids, families, and staff, and looking at best practices, you do need time on a weekly basis, that frequency is for staff to meet and plan and collaborate. So both plans propose that, right? Understanding our community better and weighing that against what's best for kids, my recommendation is draft 2 as well. I think we can, there's not enough evidence in another day of the week to say that that's better for student or, you know, learning or for adults. The truth is, you know, we're going to build a culture where it doesn't matter what the end of the week it is. We're going to be present. We can get to work, right? And if we can also support our families with school work-life balance in the process, then that's something that, you know, I want to support. So I also want, you know, to, let the community know this and anything we decide, you know, is up for scrutiny, evaluation, and revision, right? So if we are off the mark and this is not the best choice, I don't see us changing midstream, but, you know, we might be talking about next year's calendar, you know, having changes. And that's true for just about anything, whether there's curriculum, bell schedule, and so on. We're not going to lock ourselves into a decision we made now for you know, a trivial amount of time or arbitrary set amount of time. So in short, you know, weighing all the things and prioritizing what's best for the kids in year one, it's like a slightly skewed to draft two recommendation. I don't know if you want to add anything to it.
We've had extensive conversations and talked about all of our various experiences and having different early release days. So just know that there's a lot of different perspective weighed and kind of played out a lot of things, but I fully support Sebastian's position.
Discussion from the board?
Yeah, I have a question as to, do we have a good sense of, like, you just mentioned the bell schedule, but the daily schedule, so we kind of have a sense of the hours, because some places require a certain number of hours, so before we vote on this, I was just curious as to how many hours are going to be at school per day.
Yeah. So we are, we actually have a minute, instructional minutes calculator. Both have the same number of days and so on. So for all grade spans, this calendar, the number of days, and the proposed schedule still in draft mode, right? But we will exceed the required number of instructional minutes, regardless of what we go on. But we are looking at around an 8 a.m. start time and trying to have the longest day, and you know, there's longer days, and at 3 at the latest, so that families can have that work-school-life balance. So the bell schedule is not complete, other than kind of just those parameters that will exceed the number of instructional minutes that are required.
For all the different levels, like
for all the different grades. Yeah, kinder through 8th grade.
Yeah. And then I had an additional question, and it's kind of based off of like the summary at the end, and they're all, those are kind of all the same. But on January 23rd to 25th, it says the student-led conferences. I just wonder, are those minimum days as well, just like the student-led conferences on the 5th to the 7th of June?
January 5th.
Yes. They're all physical student days.
Any other questions, comments, discussion?
Can you explain student-led conferences a little bit?
So, and they're consistent with our charter with the section on personalized learning and so on. So a student-led conference is not meant to replace a parent-teacher conference. This is really an opportunity for students to kind of showcase how they, the extent that they own their learning, right? So they'll share, they'll demonstrate some learning, they'll talk to you about some of the things that they've mastered, some things they're working on now, and they'll reflect on that learning. Like, I was successful in this because of this. I'm struggling with this because of that reason. So the more we can give kids voice and ownership, the more they actually in turn take over and lead their learning. Right?
But
so
the teacher will be there too.
Teachers are present. Okay. Staff is present. Okay. The students lead their conference. Now, it's different for a 5-year-old than maybe, you know, a 12-year-old, but the idea is a progression that you do it so you can lead your learning, right? And I think about it as, like, for parents, kind of manage your expectations. If you go watch your 5-year-old play t-ball, you're not going to see Major League Baseball, right? You're going to see t-ball baseball. And so watching a 5-year-old lead their conference, it's not supposed to be as comprehensive as a teacher conference, right? It's your child at the appropriate age, grade, taking over their learning and showing. So we have other conferences in there that meet different needs, right? At the beginning of the year, we're looking at a parent-teacher student conference. The student's role is minimal there. The teacher's is more expansive. And then we've talked about the expectation of staff to call for conferences anytime they feel they need one, right? Not wait till middle of the year because conference is coming up, but rather we're building in expectations for those moments to reach out to families for whatever the reason may be.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So do I have a motion for any particular calendar?
I will make a motion for the second draft two.
Second?
I second.
Second. Melanie, roll call vote. Samantha Odo?
Aye.
Raquel Rawl?
Aye.
Melanie Choi?
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. So minimum day Fridays it is.
Yay!
Because you were so convincing.
Yeah. I take it right.
Organizational chart for Allegiance Team Academy. Everyone saw the attached organizational chart. Oh, and Diana's not here, but thank her for making that. Do I have a or any discussion?
I have a question just because I don't know if it's how printed it is, but under whose purview is are the world language teachers? Because the line
could, yeah, it's supposed to be
the line get cut off. It's supposed to go to
all the way to the core teacher. So just complete that line.
Did you get lost?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so it goes under that principle.
So go directly to the CEO.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why that happened. That needs to go all the way to CEO principle.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it got moved up.
Should have connected. And then is there any particular reason why the teachers are not under the purview of the director of educational programs if that individual is in charge of like curriculum, instruction, and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so because the role will emphasize heavily in special education, we wanted to keep that kind of a manageable sort of breakdown of supervision and stuff like that. That, you know, as we grow, that will affect the organizational chart.
Any other questions, comments? So do I have a motion to adopt and approve the organizational chart for Allegiance STEAM Academy?
Motion
Raquel, second.
I'll second.
Second, Sam. Roll call vote, Samantha Odo.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Number six, non-discrimination and employment policy. Everyone had the attached policy. Is there any questions, comments?
and then like later it's on page two when it says that, you know, something happens and they immediately contact his or her supervisor or CEO who's showed by. So my question is, you don't have the language in here, what if it's the CEO or supervisor who is doing the discrimination? So at that point, who do they contact? Because it's not here. So we should have some wording to the effect that the closest supervisor not involved in the discrimination or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. But based off of this, if you have a boss who is doing something wrong, you know, like discriminating or being harassing you or something like that, you would still have to go and report to them, which is a conflict of interest, obviously. So I think the wording needs to fix that or address that.
I do hear you. I thought there was something in here where they can report it directly to the board of directors.
Maybe that's in the uniform complaint.
And since we're reading, I have a second question.
No, go ahead.
So it also talks about any supervisory employee who observes or have got, like, they should basically report what's going on. So does that mean that we don't require or desire peers or subordinates, if they see something, to say something as well? Because I know, at least at the university level, that has gotten a lot of individuals in trouble when they were lower level employees who were able to see something and didn't report, and then, you know, case in point, Penn State, when we had custodians who saw things with Jerry Sandusky and didn't report, you know, and so I think we can get ourselves in the mess there, but they weren't in a position of reporting, so.
Yeah, anybody should report. What we can do is we can table it and we'll add those two things. I remember one of the drafts had that though. that they can report, anybody can report anything to the board of directors. So we'll make sure to get those two things added, and we'll just table it for now.
Okay. I can add a third.
Yep. Let's go.
Just in case. So my question is there a protocol that we would follow post complaint? Because this kind of gives us the complaint.
Yeah. Once we get the uniform complaint policy, that'll give the steps on how to do it.
Thanks.
All right. So that the non-discrimination employment policy is tabled for now. Adjournment. It is recommended the board of directors adjourn the regular board meeting for March 25th, 2018. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
A second?
Second.
Roll call vote. Samantha Odo?
Aye.
Raquel Rawl?
Aye.
Melanie Choi?
Aye.
And Andrew Resty? Aye. This meeting is adjourned at 7:46 p.m.